Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Glad that you're here. Is our mission statement next? Let's stand together and do our mission statement. It's not there? All right, okay. St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you guys so much. Y'all be seated. Make you stand up in a minute again. We'll have our Super Bowl calisthenics. So, like it or not. Boy, by the way, what I do like, all of y'all scooting up here close. That's just like, all right, that's awesome. So, anyway. Like it or not, it's Super Bowl Sunday in America and what began 58 years ago with only meager success. Anybody remember that? I see those hands up there. Okay. Now what's began with meager success has now become a global phenomenon. Today, over 200 million people from over 200 countries will tune in and watch Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the Niners. Between the Chiefs and the Niners. Okay. Bill Shankly said this. He said, some people think football is a matter of life and death. I assure you, he said, it's much more serious than that, right? Bombeck kind of took the other side of the coin when she said, if a man watches three football games in a row, he should be declared legally dead, right? The Washington Post says the four biggest holiday celebrations in the U.S. are Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, and Super Bowl Sunday, all right? Los Angeles Times says Super Bowl Sunday is New Year's Eve, the 4th of July, and Mardi Gras all rolled into one. Jeffrey Pasley, University of Missouri professor, says this. He says, they haven't started giving people the day off on Monday yet. By the way, man, it's close, I think, anyway. But in some respects, Super Bowl Sunday's more like, it's more of a national holiday than a lot of those days that are actual holidays. And then he says this, the Super Bowl is a commercial event that has taken on a civic character. Today, over 112 million people will attend Super Bowl parties. 16.2 million people will watch the game in bars or restaurants. Americans are expected to spend a record $17.3 billion on Super Bowl parties, with the average ranging from $83 up to $189 a person. Now, if you're coming to the Super Bowl party at the college Super Bowl party tonight, I don't know, maybe $10 a person, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Now, by the way, when it comes to religion and football, there's always been a little bit of confusion, probably a little bit of blurring of the lines. Way back in 1969, before the battle of the two best teams in college football that year, the following quote was seen on a church sign in Arkansas. Wait. Anybody remember who the two teams were in 1969? It was the Texas Longhorns and the Arkansas Razorbacks. So this is what's on a church sign in Arkansas. Football is only a game. Spiritual things are eternal. Nevertheless, and then in all caps, beat Texas. Amen. Paul, I think this for you. Bear Bryant, the great Hall of Fame coach from Alabama, had his theology a little bit off center when he said, if you want to walk those heavenly streets of gold, you got to know the password, which is?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, that's right, okay. All right, Coach Wally Butts, one state over in the SEC, the long ago famous coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, he had his own take on certain spiritual matters. Coach Butts said this. He said, in Alabama, an atheist is someone who doesn't believe in Bear Bryant. Hey, okay, all right, okay. So there's no doubt, y'all, that this Super Bowl Sunday, right, that many will worship the oval-shaped leather ball and everything that comes with it. And for many, what happens on that field today will take on life and death proportions. But while the Super Bowl of football may only seem to be about life and death, what happens in our scripture reading this morning in Acts chapter 5 is a life and death issue that's just as relevant and real today as it was 2,000 years ago. Since there's just a few of us here this morning, I'll preach on something don't know if I've gotten to preach on, and that's Ananias and Sapphira. All right, you know the story? You will. Okay. This morning, I'm not asking you to stand as we end the introduction of the teams, but I do ask you to stand and hear and receive the word of the Lord. Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through Acts chapter 5, verse 11. So all the believers were in one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace, I love that, much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses, they sold them, brought the money from the sales, and they put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, Barnabas sold a field he owned, and he brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet. Now, that's part one. Part two. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. By the way, that's great, that's nice, that's good. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Again, cool, great, awesome. The thing is, when he brought it, he pretended as if it was the whole sum, right? Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and you've kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? You could have given 20%, 50%, 40%, you know, 10%, whatever, right? What made you think, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias paid for the land? Got for the land. Yes, she said, that's the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word come alive to us, be active in us. Lord, let not your word return void. Jesus, we see how important, what happened 2,000 years ago. It really was. It was a life or death issue. And Lord, this morning, there are just as important issues facing all of us. So Lord, this morning, have your way. Lord, let your presence, let your power, let your purpose be experienced in every single person here and every single person watching from home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all can be seated. So this morning, we're not talking about the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. We're talking about the Super Bowl of the human soul. For within each one of us, there is a winner-take-all game being played, a game that will determine both our destiny in eternity and our legacy in the here and the now. Within each of us, there is a battle and a struggle raging, and there are strategic moves being executed and plays being called that are defining our relationship, directing our purposes, and determining our future. There are no sidelines in this game, y'all. No cheap seats. No skyboxes, you know, in the Super Bowl of the soul. It's an all-play game. We're all in the game. We're all on the field. Whether we want to be or not, there's a game being played, the Super Bowl of the soul. This morning, as we look at the lives of Ananias and Sapphira, we see five crucial calls they made from the playbook of their game of life. And obviously, the choices and the calls that they made resulted in their ultimate defeat. The first call they had to make was, were they going to love things or love people? Were they going to love things or were they going to love people? You see, it's obvious when you read through those first chapters of the book of Acts that the Spirit-filled followers of Jesus had a radical way of loving each other. As they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were also filled with compassion for those around them. The closer they got to Jesus, the closer they were drawn to one another. I mean, we say it around here all the time. You know, if I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus and we belong to each other. This is the way John Piper describes the move of God's Spirit in our lives. He says this, two of the effects of authentic believing in Jesus are one, that the heart is loosened in its relationship to things and it's tightened in its relationship to people. Remember the first thing that Zacchaeus did when he got right with Jesus? Y'all remember? He started blessing other people. I mean, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody of anything, I'll restore it fourfold, you know? Remember the first thing that the early church did when the Holy Spirit came on them in Acts chapter 2. Go check that out. Let's see. Acts 2. So 3,000 people, right, came to faith that day. And then verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. There's that word koinonia. There's that. It means that we belong to each other. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he or she had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, I love this phrase, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was just natural, right? When they fell in love with God, when they fell in love with Jesus, it was just natural or supernatural for them to just fall in love with others. This whole sleeping heavenly peace thing, I can see some of y'all already going, I want to be the one that runs that iron, right? You know, I want to brand that, right? This came about a couple of years ago. Gary, I don't know, had been exposed to this. He said, man, there's this great ministry. It's about building beds for kids that don't have beds, you know. And then Cal, his brother, somehow they had done it where they were from. And then here in Lubbock, 21-year-old college student. Her name's Jalissa. She came from San Antonio, and she got here and she started a chapter. And so we're going to be one of the first builds, I mean, from scratch, from nothing to built, we're going to build 15 beds. And so it's $250 a bed, and it's going to take all of us to do it. Did you see there were kids and there were girls and there were boys and there were men and there were women? And so please be a part of that. But that all comes, you see, because Gary and Cal and this girl named Jalissa, they love Jesus. And you know, when you love Jesus, it just begins to open your eyes to the needs that are around you. So that's the choice that Ananias and Sapphira had. Were they going to love things or are they going to love people? The second call that Ananias and Sapphira had to make in the playbook in their game of life was, were they going to be filled with Satan or were they going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? According to Acts 5, verse 3, it is Satan that filled the heart of Ananias. You know what's abundantly clear here in this passage? Is that you and I are defined by the content of our heart. This morning, I have three glasses of stuff up here, right? So I have, what do we call this? That's milk, right? That's water, that's juice. So, hey, Janie, could you bring me some juice? So she brings the glass of juice, right? Hey, man, I'm really worn out after working out. Can you give me some water? You know, I don't know. And by the way, we also, here's the deal. You are what you are. What you are on the inside, that's who you are. We are defined by the content of our hearts. Each glass gets defined by what's in it, and so do we. We also have these two bottles of, this is DP, Dr. Pepper, right, and this is Diet Coke. Now, what happens if I tear off these labels, right? Is this still Diet Coke? Yeah, because it's still, that's what it is, right? What happens? Look, people are saying all kinds of, they're putting all kinds of labels on you. Or maybe you are putting all kinds of labels on yourself. Y'all, who you are is who Jesus is inside of you. Nobody gets to change that. The world didn't give you your worth. The world didn't give you your identity. Don't let the world take it away. What would it look like for you and me to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus? It would look like if Jesus brings himself into us, then it would look like we would begin to take on the very character of Jesus. That's Galatians 5, right? Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's who we are because that's who Jesus is in us. You know, by the way, if I took both these labels off, I'll just try. I don't know if my fingernails are sharp, but that one's not coming off. If I took both these labels off and you couldn't tell, how would you know which one's which? Because the way it tasted. How do you know if you've really been filled with the Spirit of Jesus? What do people taste? What do people experience? What do those who know you best know about who you are? Here's the one thing I do know. Well, let me go on. If we get filled with the Spirit, it would definitely mean that we begin to live out the commandments of Jesus, right? To love the Lord our God and to love others as we love ourselves. If we get filled with the Spirit of Jesus, it would mean that we live and move and speak as the people of truth, not as the people of the lie. Remember, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the way, the truth, and the life is in you. You are a person of truth. John 16:13, we see one of Jesus' favorite names for the Holy Spirit. He says he is the Spirit of truth. On the other hand, there's this dude named Satan, right? And this is what Jesus says about him. This is John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. You know what? You can't mix the drinks up here. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever put orange juice and milk together, and especially in volume? Anybody know what that does? We'll illustrate. If you want to hurl, we'll illustrate afterwards, right? Or I mean, and who takes a Dr. Pepper and just pours it in a glass of water? Yeah, right? I think it was Maudie's Cafe in Lorenzo. She had, I don't know, just four or five flavors. It was like she had Orange Crush and Dr. Pepper and Coke and Sprite. If you mix them all together, you know, what's that called? Suicide. And that's exactly what happens. When we try to mix the father of lies with he who is the way, the truth, and the life, we cannot mix and we cannot try to fill ourselves with the things of Satan and the things of Jesus. Because what happens when we do that is exactly what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, third call that Ananias and Sapphira had to make in the playbook in their game of life was whether a relationship with God was something that was going to be earned, right, or something that was going to be received. Is relationship with God something that's all about the works that we do or the grace that we receive? Do we buy or prove our way into the kingdom, or is the Holy Spirit given to those who ask for him? You know, again, are we saved by our works, our sweat, or are we saved by the gift, the grace, the love of Jesus? I love when Jesus talks or teaches in Luke chapter 11. He's teaching on prayer. That's where we get the Lord's Prayer that Cindy led us in this morning. But he also teaches us about how the Holy Spirit will come in our lives. Look at verse chapter 11, verse 9 of Luke. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We don't get because we do or we earn. We get because he is good. I mean, I look, even this morning, check off list. You know, yeah, I went to church in the snow. That's double checked. You know, I went to Sunday school, packed snack packs, put some money in the offering plate, sang really loud in those worship songs. Right, well, I don't know. But it's too easy to make Christianity just a to-do list. He's not looking for what you do for him. He's looking for you to let him do in you, for you, through you, what needs to be done. He doesn't want you to prove yourself to him. He wants you to give yourself to him. Do we do all that we do for Jesus out of coercion or out of freedom? Coercion is a response of legalism, something I have to do or I'll never get to heaven, or something required of me or I'll never get God's love. But freedom is a response of love. 1 John 4:19, it was on mine and Janie's wedding, you know, bulletin way back in the day, you know. It says, we love because he first loved us. You see, man, when you really are loved by him, you can't help but love others. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Man, how can we not help but love the one who loved, so loved us? There's a radical difference between Ananias and Sapphira's gift and Barnabas' gift. Ananias and Sapphira's gift was kind of just, you know, a partial payback or a payment meant to manipulate God's favor. Barnabas' gift was a gift truly and fully surrendered and given into the very hands of Jesus. Now, from the outside looking in, you're just snapshotting that day, just looking at appearances on the outside. Barnabas and Ananias, the gifts might have looked the same. They did the same thing. Both sold a property. Both brought the proceeds of the sale to the apostles. The difference was is what Barnabas brought his all. He didn't hold anything back. He brought all the sale money, while Ananias brought only a percentage. God's judgment fell on Ananias and Sapphira for their lack of integrity. That they brought their part, right? Their 20%, their 10%, whatever it was, they brought their part while pretending it was their whole. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the credit and the prestige of sacrificial giving without the inconvenience of it. So in order to gain a reputation they didn't deserve, they told a lie, lived a lie, and died in that lie. Their motive in giving was not the plight of the poor, it was rather to fatten their own spiritual ego. This certainly did not fulfill the koinonia thing we were talking about, you know, loving each other like God has loved us, belonging to each other. It didn't fulfill the koinonia ideal of caring and sharing for each other that had thus far, in the early church, that had thus far defined who they were. Remember, Jesus said, right? They will know you're my disciples because you love one another. In making such a false gift, Ananias and Sapphira sinned against the Holy Spirit. And they also sinned against the church, the body of Christ. You see, falsehood and hypocrisy and lies ruin and rip away at the fellowship, the belongingness of the church. True koinonia requires true honesty and humility. That's why the sin of Ananias and Sapphira had to be exposed and eliminated, confronted and condemned. It cannot be a part of the basic building blocks of the Church of Jesus for all ages to come. Anyway, for us, to me, for you, in part or in whole, do we give all that we are or keep some back? Fourth call that Ananias and Sapphira had to make was whether faith in God was about externals or internals. Was believing in God, following God, serving God about what they did on the outside for the whole world to see? Or was it about what was going on in the inside, in the very core of their hearts and attitude towards God and toward others? Was their faith all about religious acts on the outside or repentant hearts on the inside? Were they willing to do the socially proprietous act when everybody was looking? Or were they willing to do the godly loving thing when nobody else was even around? Is following Jesus about going through the motions, looking the right way, doing all the proper things, or is it about the love of God contagiously being caught and pervasively being spread throughout the core of our being? Is it about just what's out here or about what's really going on in here? Here's a foundational principle for you this morning. I used to do this with college students back in the day. God doesn't care about your actions. God didn't care about your actions. God cares. He wants control of your heart. Because he knows that when he gets your heart, guess what he gets? Your actions. Okay, fifth call that Ananias and Sapphira had to make was duplicity or authenticity, hypocrisy or humility. Are they going to be posers? Or are they going to be real, the real deal? I don't know. I was thinking about some of the Super Bowls where it seemed like some of the teams, they got into the game, but they were just posers. I think Dallas beat Buffalo 52-17. Remember something like that? You go, well, how'd they get here, right? Anyway, what about you and me? Are we just faking it? Or are we the real deal? By the way, the only way to be the real deal is for the real Jesus to be living in here. This week I read a story about a pastor who ran into the grocery store one day to pick up a couple of things he was needing. He was in a big hurry because he was already running behind trying to get to his next appointment. Now, by the way, I read this. This wasn't, I lived it. But anyway, I read it. So anyway, he quickly went through the checkout counter, paid for his stuff, grabbed the receipt and change, and headed out the door. As he was getting into his car, stuffing the change into his pocket, he noticed that the checkout girl had given him too much change. Oh man, he thought, what should I do? I'm already behind schedule. I'm already late. I have to get on the road. And as the pastor sat in that car, he realized there was one of three things he could do. One, he could go back in right now, delaying his plans even further, being even more late, and he could make things right. Two, he could go on to his appointment and come back later and make them right, later, right? Three, he could just forget all about it and go on about his business. I mean, after all, people make mistakes like that all the time, right? Well, thank goodness, thank the Lord that the pastor decided he ought to go ahead and go in and make it right then. He walked up to the same checkout stand with the same checkout girl who had checked him out just a few minutes before. And as he approached the checkout girl, he said, I'm sorry, but it looks like you may have given me too much change by accident. And the girl with a big tear rolling down her cheek, she looked at him and said, no, sir, it's not an accident. I did it on purpose. You see, I came to your church last Sunday and I sat on the very back row and you preached about integrity and how important it is to be honest and humble as a follower of Jesus. I gave you too much change so I could see it, so I could see for myself if you really meant what you said. Truth is, y'all, everybody is searching for that which is really real. People are watching. People are looking, not just for how you talk the talk, but how you walk the walk. I mean, does it really make any real difference in your day-to-day relationship who you are in here? And I'd say absolutely yes. Who you are in here makes all the difference out here. Obviously, Ananias and Sapphira made all the wrong calls. They are our anti-example of how we are to live and love, how we are to follow Jesus and serve others. I know there's a Super Bowl today, but y'all, the big game is today, and the big game is tomorrow. The real game is today, and the real game is tomorrow. And I'm not talking about the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. I'm talking about the super abundant life that Jesus has for you. Will you choose that life? Will you choose Him this morning? Better said, will you let Him have you? Not part of you, not some of you, but will you let Him have all of you this morning? Let Him have your duplicity. Let Him have your heart and your actions too. Let Him have your sin and your selfishness. Let Him have your hurt and your brokenness. Let Him have your past with all its failures and your present with all its fear. Just let Him have it. Let Him have you, body, mind, spirit, and soul. And remember, all of God asks of you is that you give as much of yourself as you understand to as much of Him as you understand. And then keep on giving. Keep on surrendering yourself to Him. Lord Jesus, all that we are this morning belongs to You. Lord Jesus, all that we have this morning belongs to You. All that we will ever be belongs to You. Jesus, meet us this morning. Healing, bring Your forgiveness, bring Your grace. And let us stop holding back and let us give our all to You. All to You, Jesus. I'm hoping the roads are a little bit more clear. Lord Jesus, we know that when we're in the center of Your will, Lord, I used to say, and maybe I've heard it said, Lord, that when we're in the center of Your will, that's the safest place to be. Lord, I don't always know that for sure. But I do know that when we're in the center of Your will, that's the best place to be. Because God, that's where You are. That when we're living according to Your purpose and plan for our life, when we're letting You truly fill us with Your Holy Spirit and Jesus, make Your presence known in us, then Lord, we know that that really is the best place. Because that's where we receive forgiveness, and that's where we receive healing, and that's where we receive guidance and leadership, and that's where we receive the power to be the sons and the daughters of God that You have called us to be. So, Lord, do get us home safely, but, Lord, also get us home different. Get us home more and more and more of You, less and less and less of us. We love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Love y'all. Thank you so much for being here. Happy Super Bowl Day!
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.